Pastor Dave Rolfe has this to say about our promise giving and keeping God.
Maybe there are things he has promised to you that you haven't seen happen yet. God keeps his promises. He hasn't forgotten those ideas that God put in your head, those desires that are just driving you. God's going to keep those promises. He's going to keep his word. He's going to fulfill it completely. His timing, yes, but God always will keep his promises.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hand and the instrument I play. Wake up my voice. Let the world hear me say, you are worshipped and exalted here today.
Does your life sort of feel like a valley of dry bones? Maybe it's time for God to breathe into your life. Things we often think are dead really aren't when God is in the picture. Meet the giver of life as you join us for the Balanced Word. The Lord can certainly revive a life, just as he revived a nation after 2,000 years had passed. We start off today with Pastor Dave Rolfe recalling a time when the Lord did just that for Israel. We're in Ezekiel 37.
A crazy thing happened. At the end of World War II, the world began to see the devastation that happened, because now the photographers were allowed in. Now our soldiers went into those concentration camps. And what they saw shocked everyone. Piles of bodies that were just skin and bones and dead. People who were still walking, but they looked so emaciated and so horrible. And we were just completely grossed out by it, so much so that the world said, let's give them a little piece of land. All they want their land. Hey, they were in Jerusalem, you know, for a long, long time. It's just a desert. It's just a dry, wasted piece of land. Nobody really wants it. The Arabs weren't really interested in it. Nobody else was. It's just, you know, little tents here and there. And let's let them give them that land. And so in 1948, Israel became a nation again. For the first time, in terms of being self-governed and self-determined, for the first time since 586 BC. Now, when I look at this, I go, wow, to say that he would gather his people from all over the world and would bring them back to the land that he had promised them and bring them back together as a nation, not in two kingdoms, but as one. Man, I look at Ezekiel 37, and I go, this is incredible. How in the world could someone see this and not say, wow, this was a God thing? Especially when you realize that every time they have a war, they win miraculously. They actually gain territory. Supernaturally, they are being preserved as a people. It certainly appears to be. And you go, huh, I wonder if this has something to do with what God promised, that he is doing it. And to me, I look at just the existence of Israel, and I say, I know that he is God, and I know that he keeps his promises. Of course, all of chapter 37 hasn't been fulfilled. So you have to look at it and say, they are back in their land. But they don't worship God. You go to Israel, most of the people there are atheists or agnostics. There is no king. There is no one from the line of David who is ruling, and there is no reasonable expectation that it's going to go on forever. They don't have their temple, so they don't have their worship, and they've got all these people who hate them living among them, and the whole world is trying to still carve them apart, tell them they can't build houses on property they own, tell them that they need to give up more and more territory. So you look at this and go, well, yeah, it's amazing, but what's with the rest of the stuff that's left? Why has this not been completely fulfilled? Now, a temptation is to look at this and say, wow, this happened and all this other stuff is about to happen. And this is where, you know, the big, exciting expectation of the imminent return of Christ really became a hot topic after Israel was a nation. See, before that, most Christians really thought that, you know, because they never even imagined Israel becoming a nation. So most Christians throughout church history believe that this must have been a promise to the church, this, it must be that God's people, the church, Christians, are actually the fulfillment of all the promises made to Israel, so that we become spiritual Israel. That's called amillennialism, where there isn't a time where Jesus is literally going to rule and reign from Israel, but it's the idea instead that, you know, well, we've kind of fulfilled all that. I mean, never mind the fact that the church certainly isn't based in that land that he makes reference to. These certainly aren't the United Tribes of Israel. But I don't blame people for being amillennial before 1950. Because it's like, yeah, there was no Israel. So what do you do? How do you make sense of it? But then when we looked at this happen, this miracle happened in 1948, you start to think, then we must be really close to God coming and Jesus sitting on this throne. And it's a reasonable assumption to make. It's a reasonable thing to go, okay, part of it's been fulfilled. The rest of it is about to be fulfilled. And a lot of people get caught up in looking for, okay, this is the beginning of it. And the rest of it is about to happen. And so we need to look for signs that prove that this is about it. So people looking in their newspapers every day, what is this? We're going, okay, the Ebola virus. Okay, how does this fit in with biblical prophecy? The ISIS, how does this fit in with biblical prophecy? Dodgers blowing their first playoff series. And oh, this is biblical. Who's the Antichrist? Got to be Obama. Maybe it's, you know, somebody else. And we start to try to plug pieces together. Well, it's been long enough since 1948 that I think we need to wise up a little bit about not making ridiculous predictions. Because God, he tells us, Peter tells us why he isn't hurrying. It's because he loves more people than you think. And so he's waiting for more people to get saved. See, prophecy isn't intended to let you know the secret of what's about to happen. Jesus said, I don't know when things are going to happen. So don't, and we, Jerry was joking backstage about, you know, announcing our Israel trip, that I need to say that I've calculated that Jesus is coming that week that we are in Jerusalem. And so the good thing is, go into debt, sign up for the Israel trip, and the Antichrist will pay for it. But that's kind of how a lot of times people think. Many of us, you know, believe that, and people started doing math right away. Okay, they became a nation in 1948. A generation is 40 years. That takes you to 1988. Subtract 7 years for the tribulation. 1981, Jesus is coming back. And we bought it, and we expected it. And there is this empty thud when it didn't happen. Well, then maybe it's 88. Well, maybe it's before the turn of the millennium. Maybe it's, you know, and all of these calculations, totally misunderstanding the way prophecy works. See, somebody who went back to Jerusalem under Ezra and Nehemiah would have assumed, oh, I know what happens next, but that was wrong. The purpose of prophecy is so that when it happens, we can go back and say, wow, this is God. The purpose of prophecy is not to tell you what's going to happen next so that you can be smarter than everyone else. If you look through the New Testament, look through the Gospels, especially Matthew, which is full of references to prophecy being fulfilled. Over and over again, it says this happened so that the prophecy would be fulfilled. But if you go back and look at those things that are said to be prophecies, you could never figure it out from that. Like, I mean, one of the crazy ones is where it says that Jesus lived in Nazareth so that the scripture would be fulfilled. Now, there is no scripture that says the Messiah would live in Nazareth. But the best we can figure, there is a prophecy in Jeremiah that talks about the Messiah being called the branch. The Hebrew word for branch is Nazir. And so Nazareth is the place of the branch. And so, look, this is a fulfillment of scripture. You would have never figured that out by going, branch, Nazareth. And that's the way most of those prophecies are. They're so cool because you see them fulfilled, and then you go, wow, it's a surprise. But look, this must have been what God was referring to. But you can chase your tail all day long trying to calculate what comes next. I don't know what comes next. I'm not sure. But I look at it and go, this has been fulfilled, this part. And I don't know when the rest will be fulfilled, but I'm just glorying in the fact that this part has been fulfilled. I'm more interested in fulfilled prophecies than I am in unfulfilled prophecies. Because the unfulfilled prophecies, if I'm going to guess, I'm going to guess wrong most of the time. And so if I find some Hebrew word that sounds like Ebola, and I'm going to go, you know, like this, or, you know, you have preachers that are saying that the Ebola virus is God's judgment on Obama or what. It's like, come on. This is really clear. They're going to come from all over the world, and they're going to be back in that land. It's happened. Praise God. I'm grateful for that. When the rest of this is happening, I don't know. And I don't think it's wise to speculate. When it happens, you'll know. And you won't be explaining why Henry Kissinger never became the Antichrist. Because it's just, nothing against Henry Kissinger. I just think he's a little old to rally the world. But, you know, so we look at this and we just go, this is a time to thank God for what he has done so far. That land, it's desolate, and yet they brought it back. They've planted fruit trees. They figured out in all the swampland by the Jordan River, if you plant eucalyptus trees, they suck up a lot of water, and it makes the ground fertile. And they're one of the greatest exporters of things like flowers and citrus fruit and things like that. When you go to Israel, you can see it so clearly. You stand off at a distance, and you see how green Israel is, and where the border is, it's brown on the other side. Because God helped them to do this. He blessed them. It's amazing. It's why I love going to Israel, because Israel to me is just a reminder that God keeps his promises. But I want you to understand this, that God keeps all of his promises. Maybe there are things he has promised to you that you haven't seen happen yet. God keeps his promises. He hasn't forgotten those ideas that God put in your head, those desires that are just driving you. God's going to keep those promises. He's going to keep his word. He's going to fulfill it completely. His timing, yes, but God always will keep his promises. And here's the thing. You think about a valley of dry bones. Whoa. You ever felt that way? You ever been there? Where you just feel like everything that I dreamed of, everything that I desired, all of the potential that they told me I had, everything that I thought would life would be, and right now I'm like shriveling up. My chances are drying up. And it isn't just old people. For all of us old people, we do. We look at our lives and go, what happened? How did this happen so fast? And this wasn't what I thought it was going to be. But today there are 12, 13-year-old kids who've decided that there's no reason to live. I mean, this world is so good at sucking the life out of you, of causing you to just be spiritually and emotionally emaciated. And God is the one who can come to a valley of dry bones and breathe and make all the difference. See, and he wants to do that for us. If there are parts of your life that you've given up on, you've given up too quickly. If there are relationships that you've given up on, if there are, you know, ideas, things that you want to do, ambitions that you have that you've given up on, maybe you gave up too quickly. Because he is the one who breathes life in. Like he told Ezekiel, speak to the breath of life, and say, bring these back to life. And it happened. Because that's what God can do. And I've seen it happen so many times. I've seen it happen in my own life. I've seen it happen in the lives of other people. But I also know people that just go, I guess I'm just a pile of bones. That's it. This is all I have been reduced to. And that's such a lie. As soon as you give up on the possibility of your bones being revived, it's kind of self-fulfilling at that point. You know, the idea of breathing in, that's what the word inspire means. To inspire means to breathe in. Expire means to breathe out. It means to, and that's why they use the expression, he just expired. It's a nice way of saying he just died. He just breathed his last breath out, and there is no more inspiration coming in. Now, some of you might feel like you've reached your expiration date. You feel like the best days are behind you, and now all you have are stories. You got, my memories are way more exciting than my dreams anymore, we say. You have not reached your expiration date because a valley of dry bones isn't expired. It just needs the breath of God, the breath of life, to be breathed in. And I want to encourage you to take a second look at those dry bones that you have behind you, at those memories that you just gave up on, your dreams. Maybe those things that you've just thought, well, I guess I just have to adjust. I guess I just have to deal with this. What might the breath of God want to do? What would your life look like if a wind of life was injected into it? And you are never too old to have a fresh infilling and incoming of the Spirit, the breath of God, giving you an opportunity to find out things that you thought were dead really aren't. Now, some of you have never actually even invited God to come into your life at all. Maybe you've gone to church, or you try to be a good person, and you hope that things are going to turn out okay, but you've never actually said, I just need God's Spirit to be in my life. I need a huge inspiration from Him to believe that it's just not over yet. And here's the thing. The further you go alone, the more you are going to find out those bones are just going to keep getting more and more dead until you decide to invite His breath to come into your life. Until you decide that you believe that it's not over yet, that you're not going to give up yet. Now, if you want, He will leave you as a skeleton. He will leave you as a valley of dry bones. He's not going to force Himself or intrude on you where you're at, what your life is. He'll let you live any way you want to. But how sad. I mean, you can spend the rest of your life being like a skeleton, being like Weekend at Bernie's, where, you're just there hauling you around and you're pretending like you're alive. If you don't know Jesus, listen, you are Bernie. You're just faking it. You're just going through things. You're trying to make yourself look better. You're painting yourself up. You're drugging yourself. You're doing whatever you have to do to try to appear to be alive. But I'm calling you out that your dead bones can live again. God can give you a new reason for hope. He can give you a new life. And all you have to do is give Him permission. All you have to do is invite Him. If you've never done that, do it today. Do it today, man. We've got enough death and destruction. We've got enough dry bones. We've got enough hopelessness in this world. You don't need to add yours to it. Instead, God will breathe into you that potential, that new awareness of what can be, of the fact that He can keep His promises, and it's not too late for Him to turn your life around. And all you need to do is let Him. He'll forgive your sins. He'll give you a fresh start, and He will begin to breathe for you until you figure out how to breathe on your own with His help. And if you haven't done that, please, after the service, get down here to the front. There are people down here who would just love to pray with you. Your life can begin again today. So please do that. I'm not saying, we need you. No, you need this. Aren't you tired of feeling dry and worn out and empty? Aren't you tired of looking in the mirror and not recognizing who stares back at you? Your life can start over. He loves you. And He has a dream for you, even if you've lost your dreams yourself. And He wants to breathe that into you. I pray that if you've never done that, you'll do it today. Come down to the front after the service and get things right with God. But for all of us, no matter who we are, let's be honest. There are parts of our lives that have just shriveled up. There are parts of our lives that we've given up on. There are ways in which we feel like we've shoved a bunch of dry bones into the corner and said, I can survive without that. I don't need that limb. I don't, those bones I can do without. What have you given up on as dead? What is it that you think is dead in your life? That you think the breath of God can't restore and renew? Because I'm telling you, the only reason why it will stay dead is because you won't allow him. You won't invite him to breathe, to inspire you to turn that around. And for every one of us, some of us have never lived, really. But some of us have lived, and we're just in the process of accepting the inevitability of death in our lives. Do not, if you're his child, do not give up on those potential things that at one time you were excited about, but you've, this area of my life, I've just quit. Don't quit. Invite him to breathe life into your life in those areas where you need it. It is not over yet. You're here. We're not a valley of dry bones. We just feel like it sometimes. Don't believe the lie. Understand that the same God who, after 2,000 years, can bring his people back into a land and give it to them miraculously, that same God wants to take your life and mine and say, here comes inspiration. Here comes a fresh start. Here comes a renewal. That's what he wants to do for us.
You're listening to The Balanced Word. In addition to being our teacher on the program, Dave Rolfe is the pastor of Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo. We're going through the Bible right now in a series called Bible Stories. We have these messages archived for you at thebalancedword.com. Or call and request today's message on CD at 949-362-7475. And as a special appreciation gift for your donation of $10 or more, The Balanced Word is pleased to send you all of these messages in this Bible Story series on a USB thumb drive. You'll hear some of the Bible's greatest stories from Genesis through Revelation. To make a secure donation, go to thebalancedword.com or call 949-362-7475. And don't forget to ask for the Bible Story series as you give. Again, we're at thebalancedword.com. And we'd like to take this time to invite you to Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel. Our Sunday morning service times are at 8, 9:45, and 11:30. Again, we're at ccpacifichills.org if you'd like more information. Or if you're outside of the area, you can watch our live stream right there at ccpacifichills.org. Check out Pastor Dave's one-minute messages, a great way to start the day. You can listen to them at thebalancedword.com or watch them on Instagram or Facebook by following CC Pacific Hills. Here to wrap things up in prayer, Pastor Dave once again.
Let's pray. God, for people here who they've gotten so used to being a valley of dry bones that they're just pretty convinced that nothing can bring them to life. Help them to know that you can. The God who can revive a nation after 2,000 years can revive a life. And I pray that you would. Just get them to know, hey, just to come down and pray and start their life over. What do they have to lose? They're just bones anyway. Help them to know that there is a possibility that you want to do something good and exciting and vibrant in their lives to resuscitate them. And please do that. But for all of us, Lord, we're all kind of in a process of giving up on certain things. Remind us that you are the giver of life. That there isn't anything in our lives and in our future that's dead unless we decide it's dead. Help us to invite you constantly to revive us. And God, I pray that for the people here who maybe this week they'll start thinking about some area of their life that they gave up on. Maybe it's a gift that they have or a talent. Maybe it's an idea they wanted to follow. Maybe it's the relationship or something else. God, I pray that you will just gently resuscitate them, revive them, inspire them to know that they haven't reached their expiration date, that there are things that you want to do. So we submit to you our dry bones And we're asking you now, put flesh on them and skin and muscle, and then breathe your life and surprise us when we least expect it of the things that you want to bring back into us that we had given up on. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Next time on The Balanced Word, we find three men in a fire who actually lived to tell about it. It's a miraculous Bible story you don't want to miss. Join us then as we continue through the Bible in stories with Dave Rolfe. This program is brought to you by Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hands. And